Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We're talking again
about body swapping.
Hi, I'm Paul Mitzi.
I'm Lucy Thomas.
I'm Brendan Levi.
And we are the Swap Cars Podcast. Every episode, we watch an entry in the body swap movie genre and break it down for you. This week, we are watching the 2020 Netflix anime, A Whisker Away, where a high school girl in love with her classmate tries repeatedly to get his attention by transforming into a cat. But at some point, the boundary between herself and the cat becomes ambiguous. As always, we love to hear from our listeners, so slide into our DMs on Insta, send us an email, or check us a review on iTunes so we can get to 100 reviews and do an episode on Face Off already.
Why did we whisper Face Off?
For fun.
Oh, okay.
You guys started it.
You know, fun. Yeah, I started it and then you copied me.
And it's funny because... Yeah.
But I wanted you to.
I think out of all the films we've done, this has probably got the closest like themes to Face Off. So, you know, we're getting closer.
This movie?
Yeah.
What?
Because people's faces come off.
Okay, yeah. That's right.
All right. So on to A Whisker Away. This is the second Japanese anime that we have done for the show. The first one was Your Name, which on top of being one of our most popular ever episodes... is also one of the most successful and beloved films to ever come out of Japan. Do you think that A Whisker Away has any chance of garnering a similar legacy?
Nah, bro.
Yeah, no.
So, what do you think, Paul?
Yeah.
It's not going to definitely be in my top 10.
No. Yeah, like there are moments that
completely
were cute and there was moments of like inventiveness, but I don't know, I felt the vibe in the room was very sleepy. Mine, yours, we all, like, I know I could feel the energy in the room that we're all
sinking
fighting
down into the chairs further and further.
We were all fighting falling asleep, and like I'm generally tired after a day of work, but I don't know how much this film contributed to that or not.
Well, yeah, it certainly didn't bring me to life.
Yeah, no. I think the pace was very laborious and the musical score felt like a lullaby at times.
And then when we were going to Cat City, I was like, what? I thought we were about to wrap this up.
Yeah, a big part of it as well is the fact that the characters aren't particularly likable and I didn't really feel like I got to know them in any meaningful way.
Personality. Mm.
Yeah. The driver of the plot is a girl that wants to essentially, I don't know, sexually assault a guy, I guess.
I mean, I don't think that was the intent, but she was definitely boy crazy Stacy. It was like...
single white female.
It's like, yeah.
We'll do the 30-second plot summary. So we can get that out of the way.
This will be interesting.
I don't even know. Like, the whole film, like, don't fall asleep. You have to summarize this.
You ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
So there's a girl. She's obsessed with a boy in her class, continuously tries to get his attention, but he has no bar of it. Then she's at a festival and this magical guy offers her a mask. She puts it on and she can turn to a cat at any point. So she turns into the cat and then starts going up to him and he starts like rubbing her and shit. She loves it. And then she, because she hates everything else about her life, then decides to become the cat and then regrets it and then has to go back and then her... mother-in-law's cat
two,
also gets a mask
one,
and then she grabs her.
Very close. I thought you were there. It was, yeah, like Brendan said, it was like it sounded like that was the end, but then there was this whole other bit that's like the fifth act or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. So, like, when I chose this film, I'm like, because I'd never obviously watched it before, I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure this fits into the themes of our show being a body swap, because it's about a girl that can turn into a cat, which is similar to, you know, films like Shaggy Dog that we've done before. But then it turns out that this is a genuine body swap in the fact that she becomes a cat and then the cat becomes her.
Yeah, right.
But I guess it's not like she becomes a different cat to the cat that becomes her. So I guess it's not a swap, but it's pretty close.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we got a cosmic cat. We got a cosmic cat. That was in the Disney short. What was?
Oh, yeah.
A dog?
Yeah, Out. Pixar short. Yeah, mm-hmm. Had like a magical cat.
Mm-hmm.
We've had multiple cat swaps on this show as well.
Yeah, what is that? Like, that's so weird.
I guess like there's something about cats. People like and body cats. Swapping.
Mm-hmm.
But why aren't there more dog body swaps?
Yeah, because the Shaggy Dog was so funny when that dog punched someone.
Yeah. They need to just work out a way to make that the entire film.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the main driver of this plot is that this girl is obsessed with this guy and just like won't leave him alone, constantly and, going up to him and touching him, and he's like, leave me alone. I like at one point he straight out was like, I hate you. Leave me alone. And she just won't.
Mm.
And then she discovers that if she magically becomes this cat, she can go up to his house and then he will finally give her the time of day because he thinks
she's a really cute cat. Yeah.
And I don't know about you guys, but a lot of those scenes were borderline disturbing. Like he's
I was always very worried what was about to happen for sure.
And there was a scene where he's literally rubbing in between her legs, and then
she's like, "Oh,
yeah," she's like, "Ooh," and then it's like sparkles come out of her. It's like
that's because she hurt her leg or something, right? There was a thing there. He was like, "You've got a sore leg." Yeah, I think it just was a badly drawn angle.
But then he like he acts really weird around the cat. Like he at one point he. Professes his love to the cat.
It's because he knows that it's her.
Does he though?
Don't put creepy shit onto this. And also, as if you haven't told an animal that you love it.
I've never picked it up and rubbed my face all over it and went, you smell like the sun.
Yeah. What does the sun smell like?
Yeah, exactly. That is quite strange. But like, yeah, it was the way he professed his love to the cat. It's like it was this big revelatory moment where he's like, you know what? I think I love you. And
I love you. Why didn't I see it? I love you.
No, he was just using the cat as like a sounding board for his feelings for this girl that he doesn't really know at all.
And that is totally obsessed with him and like doesn't respect his personal space or anything. Yeah.
And then she was supposed to be like a manic pixie girl, but she was more like
manic girl.
Yeah. And then like,
just on that, totally off the topic, but I saw this thing that said that guys like Machine Gun Kelly and Pete Davidson and Travis Barker are the male equivalent of the manic dream pixie dream girl, which is so true.
Yeah, I can see that.
What should we call them?
Manic pixie dream boys?
No, we need something better. It's like trashy tattoo heart of gold bags. Boys. I really don't want to talk about this movie.
But yeah, this film really wants us to invest in this romance that is the most bizarre fucking romance.
That's why it's so long. Is because
I guess the only thing I can say about that is I don't know if when you were younger, did you ever just decide that you liked someone and like no matter what shit they did, you were just like, oh, but I like you. It's like you're the one that I like. It's like you just liked them. So it's like even though she seemed to have no rhyme or reason, she's just like, I like you. Even though you screamed that you hated me and you've never given me the time of day.
I believe that side of it. I believe that she likes him. What I don't believe is that by the end, he's come around and suddenly loves her. Like, that pissed me off.
I think it's like a bit of an emotional abuse thing. Like, he's like going through a family thing and Yeah, she sort of just caught him at the right moment, I guess. He needs support.
I remember a girl in primary school basically acting this way to me and having to, like, actually do what he did, like, yell at her, leave me alone. I hate you. Like,
oh, my God.
I don't love you at all. You're the worst. Get away.
Yeah, but unless the twist in this story is that ended up being Katrina and you married her, that just proves that this movie is bullshit. Because, like, why the fuck did he come around to her afterwards? It was just weird.
He liked her the whole time, Paul.
He's got a cat fetish, so.
I just feel like this film, it took something from all the Ghibli movies, something from the Makoto Shinkai who did Your Name, something that from Mamoru Hosoda, who did films like Wolf Children, like, took all the best elements and then tried to recreate them in this.
Was like, I can make a movie people like. I've got all the ingredients.
Yeah, and then just kind
cats.
Of... cats. Yeah, missed the mark.
Yeah, maybe, it wasn't quite there, was it?
Yeah, is this the anime equivalent to the musical Cats? Like, I started writing notes and then I stopped.
Yeah, I wrote very few, which is very unlike me. But one thing I will say is, was it in exchange where they were like, wait until you take a shit in someone else's body?
Yes.
And I was like, what an odd thing to say. Well, I just thought I would say that this cat said, I wish I didn't have to go to the bathroom in this body. She was like, I don't want to go to the toilet as a cat, which I guess would be quite unpleasant. But, you know, if we're comparing these movies to each other, there's a little parallel you could
But draw. The question is, why would taking a shit as a cat be more unpleasant?
Because you have to lick your asshole.
But do you have to lick your asshole? I think well, they then you're
disgusting.
To lick it.
You're a disgusting cat with a shitty asshole. <Shitty arsehole. laughs>
Can't you just use some toilet paper? She
they
still
don't have opposable thumbs.
She seemed to be doing. She was opening doors.
This is true.
She was taking masks on and off her face.
She could have at least done the like, you know, the way cats like or dogs drag their butts across the floor. She could have done that to wipe it, I guess.
There's plenty of ways. She could have just like jumped in.
And again, you know, this weird like weird cats hate water though.
But she's a human.
She's a human.
I guess. You know the way there's like this weird, is this inappropriate thing? You know, like when the other cat guy is telling her that she has to lick her asshole? It's like, this is off, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like if you're watching this as a young person, you just like, you just watched it. But when you... like do a body swapping podcast that's you found out is accidentally a lot of people's fetish and you've watched so many of them and you've just really like muddied the line for yourself. You're like, is this creepy? I don't know.
Well, it actually reminds me of, do you remember that Will Arnett movie Show Dogs that came out?
No, but you've talked, you both have talked about this before and it sounds like a nightmare.
Do you know?
Yeah, I remember.
Well, for our listeners.
I don't want to talk about it again.
have we talked about this on the podcast?
Because of all the fucking cat swaps we do. But go on, not everybody listens to every episode, I'm sure.
So, like, apologies if I already said this on the podcast and I didn't edit it out. But, yes, there was a Will Arnett talking dog movie that is basically accused of like grooming children because it was like the moral of it was like when people want to touch your genitals and you don't want it, just zone out and let it happen. And
okay, so, what? How can that?
Because at the dog show.
At this dog show, yeah. Sure. They're like, part of the dog show is that the people inspect their genitals and the guy was saying, like the dogs were saying to each other, like, you know, it's what we have to do. So when it happens, just like zone out.
That's a fucking nightmare, man.
Yeah, they literally had to take to take the movie out of cinemas, re-edit it, and then put it back in the cinema.
Oh, so we can actually watch it now.
Yeah, you can watch it. It just doesn't have the...
I would have got like just removed like...
No, because I think if it got completely removed, it would become like a legend kind of thing. Show Dogs, this film everyone's trying
to
track down. So, I don't know, is this film grooming children to want their assholes licked? Who knows?
Okay, that's a bridge too far.
We're like, What, 10 minutes in and we've already reached the bottom of the well on this film? That Paul has to sink to this level.
The podcast ended that day.
We're finally free, Brendan. And we never got to watch Face Off like he promised.
Like, yeah, it is upsetting that this was supposed to be one of those films that was our relief.
Yeah.
From the onslaught of
you like, promised.
I know it was going to be.
I wanted know
some whimsical.
And, yeah.
And like, especially like the film we're going to watch next week is going to be a piece of dog shit. This is supposed to be our one reprieve. So, Brendan, any notes?
You wrote a lot.
I did.
Not like, worth mentioning.
Please stop. You're hurting everyone around you.
Are these notes to Paul or about the film? Yeah.
And then it's
the second thing I wrote was, is she annoying? I was like, this is the main character. She's like screaming constantly at a boy she likes and everyone else around her. I'm like, we're going to follow you for 2 hours? What the fuck?
My first note was like, wow, like, let's get right to it. Like, quickest, like, swap explanation. I was like, this film's going to go like that. Because, like, literally in, like, the first 2 minutes, she receives a cat mask and we, like, sort of know where that's going. So,
But no.
Yeah.
Then add to circle back. Mm-hmm. And then
one
forward.
Thing I will say is, what did you think of the animation?
I thought it was nice. I mean, it's obviously not to the level of like something like a Your Name or a Studio Ghibli movie, but like there's some nice artwork there.
Yeah, there was some really nice stuff in there, I thought. Especially there was like a scene with lots of trees and the sun coming through, and that looked really beautiful. I remember just getting lost in that for a little minute and then being like, oh, fuck, I need to read the subtitles.
Yeah, I think the background work was really beautiful, but the characters weren't as like expressive as detailed as
I agree.
Like, some of these better films are.
Yeah.
What really pissed me off though was the musical score, which I felt like was just straight out ripping off Ghibli scores but not doing them as well. And then every time the evil mask selling cat came, there was like some like harmonica fucking bullshit. Like, harmonicas never sound good.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah,
of course,
okay.
Take
that back. I said yes, but I wasn't listening to you probably. I don't agree with that. Come on, Bob Dylan.
Like, I just feel like musical
crash
scores.
Crash test dummies.
Musical scores with harmonicas always piss me off. It actually always reminds me of the Dennis the Menace.
Oh, what about Alanis Morissette? She can hear you. She'll never forget. Cuppies tell a great story.
Yeah.
So for The Fringe, we went to an Alanis Morissette like tribute sing-along thing where they did the Jagged Little Pill album.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got to the song Ironic, they were playing it. Blah, blah, blah. They all put on those little red beanies and I pulled one out of my bag and was like, I brought a red beanie too, because the film clip, you guys probably aren't with me here. Anyway, they were like, this is the harmonica solo and none of us know how to play the harmonica. And a guy in the audience pulled a harmonica out of his pocket and did the solo for them. It was great. So this movie? I'm getting edited out, aren't I? One thing with animes, with films like this, can you please sort of explain to me, like, often they'll have these really kind of classical, like, beautiful, and then they have this, like, one modern song that comes in that's very jarring.
I mean, sometimes it's just like it fits.
I feel like this isn't the first time I've seen that, right? It's like kind of like a thing.
But I think it's very much a marketing thing, because like the modern song like is used to market the film.
Yeah.
I think that's the reason.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
And I felt that like the opening credits song in Your Name, I felt was like the weakest part of the whole film.
Yeah.
Like it kind of cheapened the whole thing.
Yeah, they just feel, they can feel like they don't make any sense.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know,
like Ghibli's done it well a few times, and there are examples of it being done well. But yeah, I don't think this is one of the good ones.
And you know what's funny? Because like often, I feel like the song is trying to tell a story.
Yeah,
but they don't subtitle it, so it's like some really heartfelt, like a lot of lyrics in there, and you're like, I don't know what.
Yeah, maybe this the is lyrics about. Were like actually would make the film. Good. It's like, this is the reason why he's falling in love.
No, I haven't even wiped my butt.
Cats don't use toilet paper. We just go, it's eco-friendly.
That is totally disgusting.
You'll have to learn to be more open-minded.
All right, now it's time for our favorite segment, Hot or Not. Take it away, all of us.
Are they too early? Are they ugly or cute? Tell me, are they hot or not? Ding. Everyone is beautiful in their own way.
Cat sound.
Do you reckon there's many furries listening to this episode?
Knowing our audience, yes.
Like, I don't know. I feel like this film really leans into that culture again. Like,
I feel like if Paul does the right hashtags, they'll be listening.
Yeah. I got to say, like, when in our Mama Boy episodes, so we've had two Mama Boy episodes, our Instagram posts for both have gone through the roof because I hashtagged them with Mpreg.
Are you sure?
What's Mpreg mean?
Mpreg is like male pregnancies.
Are you sure it wasn't because isn't the guy, the Mama Boy guy, like, some sort of darling in some subcultures. Remember we looked up his YouTube comments and it was insane.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a following, but I'm sure it's the Mpreg because then I was looking at the people that were like liking it and it was all people that like Mpreg stuff.
Okay, so I'm just going to tell everyone listening that, you know, if you do anything on our social media, Paul has fully checked out your account. Been like, why did you like our page? I'm going to find out what you're into. Yeah, well, what do you look like? Who are you?
I'm the social media manager. I'm our marketing executive. So I have to know what our demographics are. Sure. So I can like appeal to them.
All right.
Can
so
you
are,
explain
the are the plushies out? Or the what are they? The fairies.
Fairies. I haven't seen any fairy activity, but I will hashtag this fairies.
Why? God, I don't want to do fetish shit anymore.
Hashtag sex party. Hashtag fairy.
Sex party.
Yeah. Hashtag you a whisker wish. Away.
So Mpreg is like people with like, they have this fetish of like seeing men with like pregnancy bellies.
Yeah. And that's it?
Yeah, that's it. So because I did that hashtag on the last time, our post went through the roof, so. We'll try for the fairies kink next time. We'll see. Well, I guess we'll friend or foe these characters.
Yeah, let's friend or fro them. throw them off a cliff.
Yeah. So our main character, Mio Sasaki.
What was her nickname? Mudge?
Mudge.
Mugge.
Mio.
They said what it stood for and it's like.
Miss Ultra Gaga Enigmatic.
I'm like, that's not a nickname. Yeah. Yeah. Is this some weird translation thing that's not coming across?
Definitely.
So I'm going to, you know, start this off with foeing her. She was annoying. She was a sexual predator. I don't like her. Her first, like, kind of introduction to her, she's saying, I hate everyone in the world and I want the world to end or something along those lines. She just seemed like a terrible person and she was our main character. So foe.
Yeah, I'm going to give her a foe as well. Although I do respect her. She just didn't really care what anyone thought. I wish I could be more like that in high school.
Mm.
And now.
But it's probably a good thing that you weren't because look how unlikable she was.
Yeah, it's like maybe dance like a couple of people are watching. Yeah, okay.
Well, yeah, I feel like I'm often trying to be very forgiving of how people are acting as teenagers and kids. But
not today.
This was far too much. Like, and but not only is it like if it was just her just being this carefree, quirky person that sort of got on people's nerves but was just being themselves, I'd be like, yeah, sure. But then, like, just seeing how obsessed, like, everything, like, her entire being was about, like, this, what was his name?
Hinode.
Hinode. and, you know, her, like, completely phasing out her parents.
Yeah,
her
it's friendship like, that's groups. Your family.
Yeah, your friend, like, your friend is, like, so worried that they're crying how obsessed you are. And you're just like, whatever, like, you know.
I'm going to keep at it. Yeah.
Yeah. God. Like, I was just like, oh, like, that sort of person is like an anchor that will drag you down. If that person's in your life, listener, cut them loose. Get away.
And don't watch movies about them. Kento Hinode, the boy she was obsessed with, friend or foe?
I'm also going to go foe. He was, like, very emotionally stunted. He couldn't say what he meant, or he would have been frustrating to be friends with.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a foe. Easily manipulated person, like, you know.
So that makes him a bad person to know, or?
Well, yeah.
I don't think he's not, like, the victim here either. I think he had some shit going on too. So foe.
Yeah, and he's boring. You're boring, mate.
Wow me, come on.
Oh, well, being your friends, I must be really cool. And
I think you're cool, Brandon.
Thanks, Paul.
Well, that was
Lucy.
That was really
Lucy, what do you have to say about
I think you're cool, Brandon. Yeah, I think you're cool.
Look,
friend. I give you a friend.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, yeah, Brandon?
Like, he wasn't particularly anything, was he? Felt for him that he wanted to be a potter and felt the pressures of, you know,
his family. Oh, yeah, I guess that's cute. God, I probably would have liked that guy in high school. Couldn't communicate at all. Like, yeah.
Want to do your crafts.
Yeah, exactly. Artistic aspirations. Oh, Lord. Yeah.
And I am assuming, like, everyone seems to be, like, repressed and sharing their feelings. I don't know if it's, like, a cultural thing. So, yeah. Oh, he's a friend. He's a friend to me.
Okay, you can be his one friend. So, the problem is that I didn't write anyone's names down when I was doing my notes. And I don't know anyone else's names. Like, I'm looking at the IMDb. I'm like, who is Kuzunoki?
Because it doesn't have the character photos. It's just the
voice. Who's Mizuguchi?
Okay, so I'm going to go with, you know, her best friend.
Yeah.
She was a great friend.
Yeah.
She was like putting up with that girl's shit, like looking for her when she went missing, trying to help her make good decisions. She was a good friend.
Yeah, I'll give her a friend.
Yeah, yeah.
She deserves better.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, like, she needed to cut her loose. Like, she was too good for her. But I'd be a friend.
Yeah.
I'd be a life-giving friend rather than a life-taking friend, you know?
Yeah. What about the cat? Not with the personality, just cat, it was so cute. Yeah. I have two cats that try multiple times a day to ruin my life.
Yeah.
And feel very strongly about cats and how much they can be big assholes. And there was a cat that was doing like side eye in this, and I was like, oh, fucking cats. And then that little cute cat came out with its big eyes. I was like, oh, cats are so cute.
Yeah, she was a very well animated cat. She was cute.
Yeah.
The cat that swaps into her seemed like a bitch.
Yeah. But at least she came good in the end. She'd made a good choice.
Yeah. So I guess I'll friend her, whatever. let's start with the friends
let's
of foes.
Pet or...
I just want to say, like, the dad...
Send to a shelter?
The dad was hot.
The dad was hot.
He was, for sure.
Like, if as far as animated people go, I would fuck him.
How?
Like, we're talking like Roger Rabbit rules.
Oh, yeah, okay. Him,
yeah.
Now I understand.
Yeah.
Lucy?
I mean, I've already talked about how I love Trent from Daria. Like, have a real crush on him. So, the dad was good looking for sure. He must have had kids when he was real young.
He was a very youthful looking dad.
And also, like, look, I'm sorry your parents got divorced. Like, it must be really hard, but it does happen. Yeah. And you need to, like, just be a bit more accommodating. Your parents are human beings.
When she was being a complete bitch to her stepmother.
Yeah.
I was getting, like, real.
She's like, my lunchbox is in the sink. It's like, ooh, girl.
I don't. Have you watched Kissing Booth 3 yet?
No. What is life? We're doing this podcast, this crazy podcast in Paul's house. And Paul just looks over me and says, have you watched Kissing Booth 3? I'm like, is this a simulation?
Well, she goes on a very similar rant in that film.
Oh, no.
At the woman his dad's dating.
Okay.
Over, like, she wants to use the Monopoly piece that her dead mother always used to use, and she, like, goes off in front of everyone. She's like, you fucking bitch. Yeah, I was very, very similar vibes in this. And I also hated that main character.
Yeah, so. And I hate Monopoly.
This really embarrassed me. Have you considered my feelings at all? Everyone just heard this. I seriously hate pushy people like you.
But what if I told you in person?
Just leave me alone! Didn't you hear me? I said that I hate you!
Let's get to Opinion Swap, where we find some interesting reviews of A Whisker Away from Across the Interwebs.
I don't know why, but I just can't. I just keep on wanting to call this movie Whisk Her Away.
All right, so this one is from Zara on Letterboxd, and she gives it 3 stars. And she says...
Out of 10 or 5?
5.
Mm.
Found it really hard to be invested in this central romance when our protagonist is so, like, pushy and uncomfortable and lacks boundaries. And it's like the lesson here should have been, hey, I need to work on myself and loving myself instead of doing everything for this one bland anime boy who seems uncomfortable around my presence.
Yep. There's a real life lesson in that for sure.
Yeah. Like, how did you guys feel about when her letter was read out in front of everybody?
Oh, that's such a trope though, isn't it? That's like a thing in movies, like where the bully reads out like a letter or a diary or...
Yeah.
It's pretty fucked.
But it's like, I felt for her in that moment, but also like, why the fuck did you have to announce in front of everyone? I've got this letter for you.
Yeah. And like have like it on super obvious stationery, like just slip it in his locker when no one's looking. But it did make me think of Never Been Kissed when a poem gets read out or, yeah.
Oh, poor Josie Grossi.
Yeah. I'm not Josie Grossi anymore.
Well, what did you think about it?
I don't know. I just feel like it's, once again, like what, like this reviewer was saying, like her personal boundaries, like it was very clear he didn't like her. Somehow he does at the end of the film. But from everything we saw of his home life and life at school, like he definitely was uncomfortable around her, didn't like, anyway.
Like if this film was gender reversed, this would be unwatchable.
A different movie, yeah, for sure. but I do think this like perpetuates the myth that like even if guys like don't do anything that they like you, like, you know, it's like, girl, give your attention to someone else who's like picking up what you're putting down.
Well, yeah, just
she was annoying and terrible, she was awful, yes, but it's just like I definitely
it perpetuates that like no, just keep going at it, like they're the one,
exactly,
like, you can't,
yeah,
you know, you can't give up, you've just gotta stalk them and turn into a cat.
Yeah.
All right, so
maybe the whole thing's like a delusion and she never actually turned into a cat and she just kept going to his house and lying on his bed and like begging to be patted. Maybe the real version of
And that's
of
the only time he
that.
Was into her. It's because he's a furry.
I would have loved if that was a twist and then we get to see all the scenes again from that perspective.
Yeah, right? It's like Fight Club.
All right, so this one's from John on Letterboxd and he said, I told my sister the plot synopsis and she told me she hated me and hung up on me. Equal parts adorable and creepy, but when I say the main character is insane, I mean it.
Mm.
At least we're not alone. It seems like the internet is on Team Swapcast here.
But I just assumed, like, I feel like anime fans just gobble up any tribe.
I think that's a pretty unfair.
I don't know. I think if you're a bit of a weeb, like.
But Paul's an anime fan and he didn't like it.
Well, you'll wait till you see what I recommend in terms of presentations.
Yeah. Okay, great.
All right. So this one's from Ida on Letterboxd, gives it 3.5 and says, I swear if one of my cats ever comes out as a human, I'll lose my shit. They know too much.
What's this person doing in front of their cat? Don't like that one.
No, that's bad. That's very bad.
All right. And finally, we have one from Kitu Sarinen on Letterboxd. He gives it 1 star. What is this? I felt so sick at the beginning of this movie. She's such an invasive stalker who's absolutely ignorant of how she makes the people around her feel, how she makes her target feel, and she gets rewarded for it. The boy didn't fucking like you. The writing of this is so bad, I can't even give it the usual 0.5 star for the art. The art is the only reason that got me through this, and I don't feel particularly good that it did. Stop romanticizing and rewarding stalkers.
Yeah.
Amen.
Wow, so there was not really any positive reviews.
There was, but they weren't interesting.
I want to see every side of you. Not just your smiling face, your angry face too, and even the spoiled child one.
Are you sure? You would still want to be with me even at my worst?
And I want to tell you, the human you, that I love you. I want to see you smile again.
Okay, now it's time for Tenuous Recommendations, where we each recommend a movie, TV show, song, album, or book that is connected to today's movie in some way.
Face off. No, that's the wrong bit.
All right, so I had one lined up. I had written it all up, ready to go. But then when I was watching the movie...
Swim Fan?
I love Swim Fan.
That is such a good movie. Jesse that's Bradford.
Such a good, you need to do that. Yes. Oh, my God, my boyfriend.
I love him.
Speaking of stalkers.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so as part of her stalking techniques with the guy, she has this thing when he's walking to class in the mornings, she'll come up and use her butt to, like, push him over. And she thinks that's endearing. So it actually reminded me of an anime series from 2015 called Keijo. And what this is a sports anime about a sport where they put platforms.
You're kidding. <Yeah.
laughs> They put platforms.
You're doing this.
on a pool.
Oh, my God.
And then... girls go on the platform.
I know what this is. And they, okay,
have to, and they have to knock each other off using only their butts or their boobs.
And they have to barter for bikinis and...
No, that's the video game I play.
Oh, okay.
This is unrelated but similar.
It sounds exactly the same.
I'm sure they inspired each other. But, yeah, so basically it's a show about... It's actually... As ridiculous as the premise is, you do get into it by the end. It's about a bunch of girls who are trying to, like, strengthen their boobs and their butts so that they can...
Because, you know, every girl wants strong boobs.
Yeah, strong boobs and butts. And they have, like, each girl has, like, a different, like, move that they can do with their butts, like butt tornado, and, like, they can do different things with their boobs and their butts. And it's quite...
Wait, what do they do with them? Like... I'm trying to picture, like, do they, like, punch people?
Yeah, they can, like, they're so attuned to their boobs and their butts that they can make them do things.
Oh, well, you sold me.
Yeah.
I will not dignify this with a response. It's like, I want to make a joke or hit you.
I thought it was trash, but now that you've explained it, Paul, I think it sounds like...
Imagine if people could actually, like, punch with their butts. That would be very funny to see.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't want to watch this movie. I don't want to. I take it back.
See, this is what I was saying about weebs. They'll just drink anything.
Yeah. Look. Okay, so Paul is one then.
I think so.
No, the thing is that this is a great show. So, KJ, check it out. What's great. Yours, Lucy?
I can't wait to be forced to watch that. Brilliant. So my tenuous connection is just that, very, very loose and tenuous.
Mm-hmm.
My theme is cats. I'm not doing cats.
Cats the musical.
No, I'm doing Inside Llewyn Davis.
Okay.
Coen Brothers movie. Yeah.
With Oscar Isaac and Adam Driver.
Do not steal my thing. I wrote a whole thing. Okay.
Continue.
I just wrote Oscar ultimate zaddy, hurts to look at him so hot, Isaac. I just wanted to say it. Yes. Yeah. Did you watch it?
No.
Coen Brothers.
Well, which one? What?
So I didn't write down the year that it came out, but it was quite a while ago, I think.
Yeah, maybe like 5 years ago.
And there's like maybe kind of like a loose Bob Dylan narrative, like Greenwich Village, New York folk scene in the 60s. And Oscar Isaac is like a folk musician. And so look, that's just a film that's written for me.
Sounds like
and
you like it, yeah.
He's got a cat and it, like the cat plays a big role in the movie. So yeah.
Hmm.
I'm doing that.
Good.
Literally Googled movies with cats. But I actually did enjoy this movie. It's got Justin Timberlake in it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before, like, do we, and are John, we supposed to not like him at
John
the moment?
John Goodman. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Free Britney. Oh, she's free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Freed Britney.
Freed Britney, yes. John Goodman's in it. Adam Driver. Carey Mulligan. Yeah, mm-hmm. Good movie.
Good recommendation.
Cool.
Brendan.
I passed the assignment.
What do you have for us, Brendan?
Will we be able to say the same for Brendan? Are you literally Googling it now, you piece of shit? You can't connect it to Memento. What are you looking at?
I'm just looking for something. Something that speaks to me.
Do you just literally Google movies?
No, this is just a list of movies I've rated highly. So the film I'm recommending is called Girl Asleep. Have any of you watched Girl Asleep?
Sounds familiar.
I haven't. I've heard of it. It's South Australian, right?
Yeah, it is. It's,
oh, Brendan, so much local representation from you.
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe it's because like I'm trying to be in the industry and make people watch Australian films, but...
Yeah, that is why.
But like it is... It's a film which is about this girl who's coming of age, and she ends up going into this, you know, this fantasy world in order to, you know, become a woman or whatever. I don't know. Does that connect enough? Maybe I'm gonna do something else. Wait. Let me just do it. Hey, how about an anime?
No, stick with the fucking thing you're doing.
Have some conviction.
Girl Asleep.
Girl Asleep. It, you know, has some Wes Anderson vibes to it. A bit of, what's that one with the kid and the wild things are or something?
Where the wild things are?
Where it has a bit of...
Hunt for the Wilder People?
Yeah. No.
What are you talking about?
I should start again.
No, this stays
You're putting this girl to sleep, man.
All right.
No. Let me do it.
Girl Asleep.
Let me have a good one.
That's what Brendan has chosen. Good work. Thank you, Brendan.
You have failed the assignment.
All right, Mean Creek is a film about a really annoying kid.
You chose killed. A girl asleep. It's done.
Right. That sounded bad, that sentence.
I want to see every side of you, not just your smiling face, your angry face too, and even the spoiled child one.
Are you sure? You would still want to be with me even at my worst?
And I want to tell you, the human you, that I love you. I want to see you smile again.
All right, so where are we ranking A Whisker Away among the films we've covered on the podcast?
I'm putting it just above Mr. Fuzzy Pants.
What does that put it below?
A Christmas Switch. Well, I just wanted, like, it wasn't, as far as cat swaps go, it wasn't great, but it was better than Mr. Fuzzy Pants.
So, I actually...
Maybe that's what I'm going to do with my list now. I'm going to, like, group them together, just make my list insane.
So, I'm actually, I was actually had a similar thought, but I'm going to put it below Mr. Fuzzy Pants.
You thought Mr. Fuzzy Pants was better?
Yeah, like...
just because of Fuzzy Jennifer Garner?
And Robbie Amell, like, is just so fucking hot. And
I can't remember and what that is.
And
is that a person?
Yeah, it is. And I never wanted to fall asleep during Mr. Fuzzy Pants.
Mm.
I was too horrified. Brendan?
I'm putting it between Ice Angel, aka On Thin Ice,
aka Skating for the Gold,
And The Change Up. So yeah, I think it deserves to be above The Change Up. All these people who actually did all the work animating this, they didn't, it wasn't their fault the script was horrible.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely one I was trying to keep awake in. And I think Ice Angel, aka On Thin Ice, Game for the Cold, was a bit more of a fun watch. So,
yeah. Who would have thought that, like, that film
would
like,
be just high on our list?
Touchstone, yeah.
I think we just like saying it.
Yeah, definitely. More films should have, like, 3-part titles like that. It's very ambitious.
All right. So, next episode. So we know
he already can't keep a straight face. I'm livid.
Well, you know, it's our Christmas episode, so
so it's gonna be trash.
It's gonna really be
trash. It's gonna be made by Hallmark or one of these dumb channels in America.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be
shot in the 1998 lot.
This one has a really good premise that I'm sure will not. It will not live up to it.
All I want from one of these ones is I just want a pace, like a quick pace. They all just drag on so much. Like, be as bad as you want. Like, I would love to watch a really good bad movie. Like, just do you know what I mean? Like, just keep the plot points coming. Stop dragging.
And there's them a lot of like really fun like Christmas trash movies. Like, I watched the new Netflix one the other day, Love Hard. And it was like, it was trash, but it was
fun.
But
that looks like elevated trash.
Yeah, yeah. It had a bit higher
production. It's not a Christmas princess switch. What?
Well, no, I'm defending the princess
switch. You would,
though, movies.
Wouldn't you?
But anyway.
You lose your, like, entry card in the Vanessa Hudgens gay appreciation.
So previously we've done the movie A Christmas Switch.
Oh, Lord. Let's try and guess it. Okay, so we've done A Christmas Switch.
Christmas swap,
trade,
Christmas trade, and a Christmas swap.
Okay, Brendan.
A Christmas
switcheroo. Now
change
what?
Around.
A Christmas mix up.
So we've previously done a Christmas switch. This time we're doing the Christmas switch.
No, you've got to be kidding me.
The Christmas switch, which stars Natasha Henstridge. And Brian Krause
oh,
from
you know.
Charmed.
Yeah.
Who are these people?
Okay, there you go.
You know Natasha Henstridge. She was Species. You know, the hot chicken Species.
And who in Charmed is the guy? Is it the one I saw on the subway in New York?
Mate, the guy that was like always hanging around the sisters. He was like magical as well in Charmed.
It, like the person that watched over them? Leo?
Yeah, the angel. Was he an angel or something?
Yeah, and then Piper married him, even though it was like totally not allowed.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think it killed him.
Yeah, that one.
Is it current day or is it old?
It's from 2014. And, okay, wait for this synopsis.
That's going to be really sad to watch.
The IMDb synopsis actually made no sense. Like, it literally made no sense. So I couldn't use it. So then I read through the plot summary and wrote my own synopsis.
Oh my God. We work hard for you people, this podcast.
I'm sorry I didn't come up with
it. Paul had to write a synopsis of a movie he's never seen.
And I couldn't even come up with a 10-year
synopsis. He had to research from other people's scenarios and write a synopsis.
All right. So from what I can gather, the film is about a gambler who agrees to swap his body with Santa Claus in order to not go to hell.
Uh-huh. Like I said, if you keep up the pace, I will give you a free pass.
But the thing is, like, Christmas films, like, I feel like I should just be able to watch them and just that thing of Christmas being
Christmas
awakens that little
yes.
part of your soul that's still alive from when you're a kid and just makes you feel good, even if it's average.
Yeah, but then remember whichever one it was we watched, like, the mum died. Like,
we had to watch her, like, slow descent into, like, dementia before she dies as well.
And, like, this one, we're just going to see the death of two people's careers, and it's just going to be really sad.
Also, there will be death again. Yeah.
Yeah, I know there's, like, homeless people are part of this plot. Death is part of this plot. It's going to be a
And I'm sure they'll tackle these topics with nuances.
Like, why would Santa agree to it? Like,
I think Santa, from what I can gather, Santa forces him to do it.
Oh, okay.
Because he's like, Santa's too old and decrepit.
So it's like Bruce Almighty. It's like Evan Almighty, whichever one, Bruce Almighty. Yeah. But instead of God, it's Santa. It's like, you think you could do better? Here you go.
I think it's like
maybe it's that though.
The guy is like dying. Like the gambler is like dying, and then from what I could gather, the gambler's like dying, and then Santa Claus comes in and is like, my body is getting too old to be able to deliver all these presents. I need to use your body for 3 days. You can take my body for 3 days.
That just seems like a short-term solution, Santa. Like, have you thought it through?
It also seems like a demon.
Yeah, he's like,
I'm taking your body. I'm going to use it to go around the world.
And yeah, and why does Santa like have any sway over this guy going to hell? All these questions and more will be answered in the next
episode.
Merry Christmas. All right. So that was another episode of the Swapcast podcast. We managed to fill out a whole episode about
And I got way more pop culture shit in there than I normally get. So
yeah.
Hooray for movies that have no talking points.
In time, Brendan.
56 minutes.
Fuck, nearly a whole hour. Once Woo! I edit this shit, this might be the 30-minute mark. Breezy episode.
If anyone edits out any of my Pete Davidson talk or any of my really stellar podcasting, I'm going to be pissed.
Okay. All right, so until next time. You are a piece of shit on the ground, DPW, unless you review us on iTunes. And if you do that, then you're no longer those things.
What
and
about I you, was, doo-doo?
And I was Paul Mitzi.
And I was Lucy Thomas.
And I was Brendan Levi. And if you're listening, send us a message. Send us what you thought of a cat's whiskers.
Or a cat's whiskers.
I think they're pretty useful.
Or just do anything on our social media and Paul will have tracked you down and know your whereabouts and your fetishes. So do that.
Yeah, please. Please. It gives me life.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Too Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.